Let's do a little. This is Vayishlach. This is a new thought I had over Shabbos, so it's a work in progress. We'll see how it goes. I haven't had enough time to do like actual research to try to back up some of the ideas, but we'll see. We'll try to figure out if it holds up. So we're starting parts of Vayishlach. We have Yaakov Avinu now in ready to return home, but now he has to deal with Esav. And originally, if you remember, at the end of Parshas Toldos, what was he told by his mother? He said, go to Laban's house and stay there until Esav calms down. So Esav's going to calm down at some point. He'll realize, whatever, that it's not worth fighting over, and then you can come home. But the problem is, Esav never calms down. So he comes anyway. Hashem appeared to Yaakov at the end, and he said, it's time to go home. So Yaakov left. He took all of his children. He took his sheep. There was the whole incident with Laban chasing him down. We didn't speak about that, but then here is Yaakov now. He's away from Laban, and he's ready for the next stage in the game. Now, it's important just to keep in mind, Yaakov, when he entered Eretz Yisrael, he got himself an escort. So if you turn back one page, so we're in the end of Pasuk, the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. So what happened? So they have their little covenant at Yigar Sahadusa / Galed, right? Good trivia question. The only Aramaic in the entire Torah is Yigar Sahadusa, right? Lavan called the pile, what? Right, it's a Torah teaser. So it's what is the only Aramaic phrase in the Torah? It's Yigar Sahadusa, and Yaakov called it Gal Eid, because that's the exact translation of Yigar Sahadusa. So then what happens is that they go on their way, and then at the very end, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Beis, Yaakov halach ledarko vayifku'u bo malachei Elohim. Right, so he finds Yaakov goes on his way, and angels of Hashem come to greet him. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am machaneh Elokim zeh, vayikroshim makom ahu machanayim. And he says, "This is a camp of God." Right, so Yaakov Avinu is met, and Rashi points out the same way Rashi quoted earlier in the parsha of Vayetze, that there were the malachim of Hashem going up from Eretz Yisrael, going up the ladder, and malachi chutzlar, it's coming down the ladder. So too, now he's coming back into Eretz Yisrael, so it ends, Parsha starts with malachim, it ends with malachim, and that makes sense why Rashi says at the beginning of Parsha, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav eleisav achiv, arzo seir sedei adam. So Yaakov sends malachim, and Rashi says right away, malachim mamish, real malachim. We're not talking about stam messengers, we're talking about real malachim. Why? Because it makes a lot of sense in context that the last thing he met were a bunch of malachim. So now he wants to send messengers to Esav, so he sends malachim mam. So Rashi just playing off the psukim at the end of Parshas Vayetze. Okay, so he sends these malachim. And they go to Esav, and he starts basically saying, he says to Esav, this is the message I want you to have. Im lavan garti ve'echar arat, I've been living as a sojourner, forgetting about the Medrash, which, yeah, it's hard to forget because we know it from already the time that we're young. Im lavan harosha garti ve'taryag mitzvah shamarti, although we know he did not keep the taryag mitzvahs, because he was in fact married to two sisters at the time that he was sending this. So that's what we did the Mishnah today, right? So you're not allowed to be married to two sisters. But lamaisa is a symbolic taryag that he didn't learn from the evil ways of Lavan. Bottom line is, the pashup shot is, I lived as a ger with Lavan. I did not live as a settler. I lived a haphazard existence. Vahili shor v'chamor tzon ved v'shivcha v'ashlacha lahagid la'adoni limtzochein b'enecha. And I made all this money. I have all this cattle. And you know what I did with it? I sent it to you because I want you to like me. V'yashuva malachem. And what do they say? Banu alachicha leisav gam holech likrasacha v'arba meyos ishimo. It didn't work. It did not work. We saw Esav, and not only is he coming to meet you, but he has an entourage of 400 men, right? That's a famous joke. How do you know Esav was a Hasidic Rebbe, right? So he wore fur, he walked with an entourage of 400 men, and he wanted to kill his brother. So that's the joke they tell based on that pasuk. So no, you never heard that one? Okay. So he comes to, he's coming to kill Yaakov, and Vayira Yaakov Me'od, and Yaakov was very afraid. Vayetzer lo, Vayachas Ami, he took Eitzah, he tried to figure out what to do, and he divided up his camps into two. Vayomer and Yavo Esav la Machanah Achas V'Kol Vayah Machanah Nishar Lefleita. He says, all right, at least half of us will be saved. But, so my first question is, What exactly is Yaakov so afraid of? Everything he has done so far, he's talking to the Malachim of Hashem. You see, he has this security blanket that what happened when he left Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. So he has the dream. And what does Hashem say to him? What does Hashem say to him? So let's just remember a little bit of the lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov. Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak Aretz Asher Atah Shochev Alecha Lecha Etnena Ulzarecha. I'm going to give this land to you and to your children. V'haya Zarecha Keafar Aretz, and your children will be like the dust of the earth. V'faratzta Yama V'kedma V'tzafon V'negba V'nivruchu V'cha Kol Mishpachos So'adam V'zarecha. Says you're gonna be it. You're gonna be the father of the great nation, and everyone's gonna be blessed through you, right? And then, if that wasn't enough, V'yenochi imach, I'm with you. Shmarticha b'chol asher teleich. V'ashivosicha elo adama azos. I'm going to guard you and I'm going to return you to this land. Ki lo ezovcha ad asher masisi es asher dibar. I'm not going to abandon you until I do what it is that I said I was going to do. Hashem promised him everything is going to be okay. No, but he says not only, it's not just for you and for the Shvatim, and not only that, but you see he's worried about everybody being wiped out. He says, at least we'll save half. At least we'll, you know, at least we'll, so we won't, I'll die and half my family will die, but the other half will survive. What's he so scared of? He has, so we're going to have to talk about that, right? So that's the Gemara points that out, that there was a fear based on a real chait that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. But we're gonna have to elaborate on that a little bit. But let's first go in the question format, and then we'll go to the answers. That's just how I do it. Anyway, it makes the answer seem better. So okay. So what was he so afraid of? He has the Havtacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only that, he was currently being escorted by Malachim. It's not like Hashem had ignored him up until this point. And there's more proofs to this. What does he say? Vayomer Yaakov Elokei Avi Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Hashem Ha'omer Elai Shuvar Tzchom. You're the one who told me to come back, Ve'itiva Yimach, and I will do good with you. Katonti, right? First, most famous pasuk in the parsha, I think, right? Because it has that Azlagirs, right? The two most famous things that people like to lean along with the Balkore, Katonti and Ka'ela, right? So it says Katonti and Ka'ela, right, on Pesach, because they do the same maftir over and over again, because they bring the same karbonas all the days of Yantuf. So that's why they have the same maftir every day. They don't have the same maftir every day of Sukkot.
No, so that's why everyone does Ka'ela.
Well, they like the trup, and they hear it, 8 days in a row in Chutz Laretz. So, katonti mikol chasadim. So what does katonti mean? What does katonti mean? I have been made small. I've been made small. Mikol chasadim, from all of the chesed, umikol ha-emes asher asises abdech. And all of the emes. So you've done two things for me, Hashem. You've done chesed and you've done emes. Right? So what is this that somehow I've been made small, right? You could say I've been humbled by your chesed. So it could be katonti just means I've been humbled. Like you've done something, so many great things, and I'm humbled by this. I feel like I don't deserve it. But katonti is not mashma that he was just humbled. I've been made smaller because of what you did. Like I used to be bigger, now I'm smaller. Because of all the chesed and all the emes. Memela, you could be made smaller by the chesed that someone does for you. When you can't do something for yourself and someone does it for you, you feel small. Right? You feel like Kar Satov to what they did, but it's hard. It's hard to feel that way. It's easy, by the way, the number one raya for this is, who is it easy to feel like Kar Satov to? Who is it easy to feel like Kar Satov to? In life, when people do you favors, who is it easy to feel good that they did you a favor? Really? It's easy to feel good when your parents do you a favor? I think that's the hardest. When your friends do you a favor, it's the easiest, right? Because you'll do for me, I'll do for you. We need each other. When your parents do something for you, it hurts. It hits you at your core. Because, like, somewhere inside of you, you know you owe them everything. And that bothers you because, like, there's someone in the world who knows that I'm nothing. And there's someone in the world who knows that without what they did, I'm literally dead a million times over. You know, I wouldn't be in the world to begin with, and I wouldn't have survived one day of my childhood, and I wouldn't have clothes on my back, and I wouldn't have, and it hits at the core of your gaiva. It hits like at your self-esteem that like there are these people out there whom you owe everything to. Maybe if a friend does you a favor, so he gave me a ride, I'll give him a ride next time. You know, no big deal. Or like, ah, I could have walked. It's like, you know, you couldn't have done anything without your parents. So when someone does you that kind of a chesed, you feel it's like katogdi. I was made smaller. All of a sudden, you feel like a kid again. You know, so that I get mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emes. Why mikol ha-emes do I feel small? You understand the question? If that's what I really deserve, so that's what I deserve. So I got what I deserve. So Mela, I feel good about myself. I feel like, look what I accomplished, and I got what I... It's not this false humility that like, no, I didn't really deserve it. You really deserved it. If I got the MS, then why is that something that I should feel small about? And then he says, everything you've done for me, kiba makli avarti esayardin azev atal yisin lishnei machanos. What did I have when I crossed the Yardin in the other direction? Just my stick. Right, and Rashi even quotes the Medrash over here that he crossed it using the stick. He stretched out his stick and the Yardin split. Right, in other words, so we see Hashem was with him all along. There's a great Ramban on this discussion of why doesn't the Torah record any of these types of nisim. Right, we don't have time to talk about it, but it's a very worthwhile read. The Ramban in his general view of how nisim work, and there's a nice piece in the Sifsei Chaim, I think on a piece on Emunah and Hashkacha, about the hashkacha that the avos were zocha to versus normal people. Why is the kivshon ha'esh not recorded in the Torah? Why is this not recorded in the Torah? Miracles that happen to the avos on a regular basis are not recorded in the Torah. The question is, why not? Right, so the Ramban has a beautiful mahalach there. What? That is definitely a thought, right? That actually I saw Rav Nissen Alpert writes like that. Rav Nissen Alpert writes, the reason the kivshon ha'esh was not mentioned in the Torah is because it had nothing to do with building Klal Yisrael. And Breishis is ach v'rak about building Klal Yisrael. So he says that's just something that happened to Avram Avinu. You know, so that helps with our theme a lot. But here, so he says why does he feel small? And then he says Hatzileni miyad echim miyad esav ki yarei anochi oso. Again, because he tells Hashem, I'm really afraid of him. Pen yavo v'hikani emal bonim. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill the mothers. He's going to kill the children. Right, and va'ata amarta heitivi mo v'samti zerach kol hayam asher lo yisabrem rov. And you told me you were going to do this for me. Meaning, for some reason, Yaakov doesn't feel, he feels like he needs to daven to Hashem and remind Hashem, quote unquote, of the promises that Hashem made for him, and he's afraid that Hashem won't keep these promises. So why is he so afraid that Hashem won't keep the promises? Okay, so let's move along. He gives tons, and we go through Be'arichus, what the gifts were that he's going to give to Esav, and it's very elaborate. And then he says, tell Esav, he says that this is a gift from me and he should take it and enjoy it. And he sends a number of camps. And then we have, fine, and then let's go a little further. And the famous positive, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayeyavek Ishimo Adalo Sashacha, right? Yaakov remained alone. And he wrestled with this person, this man, who just shows up. Like they decide to have a wrestling match overnight, and that was it. And Adalos HaShachar, until the morning comes, they wrestle. And then Vayarki Lo Yacholo Vayiga B'Kaf Yerecho V'Teika Kaf Yerech Yaakov Behev Koimo. So he sees, the man sees that he's unable to overcome Yaakov, so he hits him in the thigh, and he injures him while they were wrestling. And then Vayomer Shalchini ki Alo Hashachar. You have to send me away because it is morning. Vayomer Lo Hashalechacha ki Im Berachtani. Strange response. You have to send me away. All right. So if we go with Rashi, it's the Saro Shel Esav. It's a Malach. He says I need to go away because morning time is time to sing the Shir Shel Yom. I have to sing Shira Tzadikadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. I can't be here anymore. I have to be sent. He says I will not send you until you bless me. What does that mean? I won't send you till you bless me. Here he's fighting with this guy. The guy injures him, and now I will not let you go till you bless me. What does he need a blessing from this guy for?
What's it up to Yaakov to let him go?
Well, apparently he had him. You know, he was injured, but the guy was not willing to. He could not overpower Yaakov, so Yaakov had him in a headlock or something, and he says, "You got to let me go." And he says, "No, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." Vayomer Elav Mashemecha. What is your name? Vayomer Yaakov. Vayomer Lo Yaakov. Vayomer Od Shemcha. Ki im Yisrael, ki sarisa im Elokim v'manashim v'atuchol. You have lorded over, right? You have lorded over both HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well as people, and you have won. You have been able. You have been found able. You've succeeded. And then he says back to him, "Vayishal Yaakov vayomer hagida no shemecha. Please tell me your name." First, I want a blessing. Now, I want your name. Very strange. Vayomer loma zet tishal shmi vayvarcho sosham. He says, "You don't need to know my name. Why do you want to know my name? Doesn't matter." And he blesses him. Right? It's very strange. Why does he want to know the name of the individual giving him the blessing? Clearly, he felt him worthy of blessing him. Whether Yaakov knew it was for sure a malach, whether he thought it was a human being, but he clearly thought very highly of this human being. He fought him for some reason, and then he all of a sudden wants a bracha from him, and then he wants to know his name. So that's a strange exchange, if there ever was one. And clearly, Yaakov understands that there was something godly about this individual, because the next pasuk is Vayikra Yaakov Shema Makom Piniel Ki Ra'isi Elokim Panim El Panim Vatinatzel Nafshi. He clearly knows there was something godly about this person. You know, whether he knows there's a full-fledged malach, I have no idea, although he seems to have interactions with malachim, and not even going into midrashim. He just regularly, at the end of Parshas Vayetze, he saw, beginning of Parshas Vayetze, he sees malachim going up and down. End of Parshas Vayetze, he sees the malachim coming to greet him, and now again he sees this person who he seems to recognize has a, at the very least, some type of malach qualities to him. That's why he calls, he says, Ki ra'isi Elokim panim el panim. I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. I saw God, you know, I saw God face to face, meaning Vatinatzel Nafshi, and I was saved. Fine. So then he has a refuah shleima. And then we learn the halacha of the Gid Anasha, right? So fine. Moving forward. And then he meets Esav finally, and again he has the whole lineup situation, and he's bowing, and he's so nervous, so scared of Esav. It's almost unbecoming almost that he so lowers himself in front of Esav that he says, "You did the right thing. What are you afraid of this guy for? Kadosh Baruch Hu's with you." It's very strange that he was so mechana himself in front of Esav. He was so machmia himself. Better word, sorry. Nachmiah himself in front of Esav to the point that it's almost what you call in Yiddish, it's pasnished. You know, it doesn't look right that he felt this way. But okay, this is what he did. This is what he did, and they all bow, right? And then he has a weird conversation with Esav, and he says, Esav says to him, "Achi," this pasuk tes, "Achi, my brother." Oh, Yomer Esav, sorry. "Yesh li rav, I have much." Meaning, what am I angry at you? You stole my brachas. What were the brachas? We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. The brachas were all gashmias, right? You're going to be rich. You're going to have great stuff. He says, "I have a lot. Yehi lecha asher lach. You keep what's yours. You don't need to give me any gifts. I'm a wealthy man. You keep your stuff." And then Yaakov, this is his chance. Esav is telling him, "I'm good. We're good. I don't begrudge you anything. I don't begrudge you any money. I don't begrudge you any gashmias. You know, fantastic." And then what happens? Yaakov doesn't give in. "I need you to take my gift. I need you to take this gift." He doesn't say "me," but he says, "Please, if I found favor in your eyes, please take my gift." "Ki al kein ra'isi ponecha kiros pnei Elokim v'tirtzeni." I don't know, you got an art scroll there? What does the art scroll translate that pasuk as saying? "Ki al kein ra'isi ponecha kiros pnei Elokim v'tirtzeni." No, just the second half. I mean, you could say the first part too, but he's saying, "Take the gift from me," right?
Right.
Yeah. Ki al kein ra'isi vanecha.
Right, and as much as I've seen your face, it's like seeing the face of a divine being, and you want peace by me.
Right, he's saying, looking at you is like looking, right, is like looking in the face of God, and you were appeased by me. So Rashi has a field day with this pasuk, but the bottom line is that Rashi says he's referring to the wrestling match that he just had with the Malach, and he says it was a little bit of name dropping on Yaakov's part, saying like, "Oh, you look just like your Malach, the guy I just beat up." Like he wanted him to be clear that like you still don't want to mess with me because I just beat up a Malach. So, all right, that's, you know, obviously Rashi says what he says, but again, it's still a strange phrase that Rashi says it because it's such a strange phrase that that what is he saying to him? Like, seeing you is like seeing God, and now I want you to be appeased by me. See, it's almost like saying, if I appease you, I'll appease Hashem. If I appease you, that will make Hashem feel better. What is Hashem feeling so bad about? And then he goes further, and this is worse. It says, "Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kachnas Birchasi Asher Huvas Lach." Right? Take my blessings. Ki Chanani Elokim V'Chiyeshli Kol. Hashem has given me chayin, and I have everything. Whoa, what is this, a game of one-upsmanship? Esav says, Yeshli Rav. So Yaakov has to throw back in his face, Yeshli Kol. No, I thought you were trying to make him feel better. He says, Yeshli Rav, I'm good. And he says, no, you think you have a lot, I have everything. Right? He says, Vayivtsar Bo Vayikach. So finally he persuades him to take it. All right, Vayomer Nesavna, and then he says, well, let's go together. And he says, the kids can't really travel, etc. Okay, so all right, they go back, and finally he says, I'll meet up with you later. And Esav goes on his way. And then what happens, moving along to Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yaakov Nasas Sukkos, Vayivan Lobayz, Lemigneo Asas Sukkos, Alkein Korah Shema Makom Sukkos. I don't have a good explanation for this Pasuk right now. A lot of different Mefarshim talk about it, but Rashi kind of ignores it. He went to Sukkos, he built a house for himself, and he built Sukkos for the cattle, and therefore he called it Sukkos. Isn't that strange? He called the name Sukkos because that's what he built for the cattle. So a lot of Mefarshim talk a lot about that particular pasuk. I don't want to talk about it right now, but if you want to do some homework, that's a great pasuk to look through. Rashi doesn't touch it really, but nevertheless, he says what he says, but it's not really touching on that nekuda. But it's very important pasuk to try to figure out. And then what happens? He pays for the place from Shechem ben Hamor. Or Miyad Bnei Chamor Avi Shechem B'meyak Kisita. He pays, and they tell you the amount that he paid, 100 of whatever that is, right? There's three times in Tanakh that people paid for something in Eretz Yisrael, right? You know this Medrash? Medrash says there's three times in Tanakh that people paid for land in Israel. So it's Kicha, Kicha, Misteya. From that one you better know, right? And then we have here, where he, Vayikin Eschelkas Asadah Shanot Hashem, he buys land in Shechem. And the third one is, not in Torah, but in Navi, what? Harabayas, he buys from Arona Hayivusi, right? So David HaMelech purchases the Harabayas. And the Medrash says those are three places in Eretz Yisrael that no one can make any taimes against Klal Yisrael. It's recorded on the books. We bought them. We could have just won them in battle or earned them like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but we dafka went out of our way to buy them. And what's the ultimate irony of history is that those are three of the most, if not the three most, right? We have Shechem, Kavri Yosef, that's an area that's not even Kemat disputed anymore. I thought there were only three, but I could be mistaken. If there were four, I apologize. I can't think of it right now. I don't know if I ever knew it. I thought I knew that those were the...
No, someone told me this. I was like, oh, then also that it's ironic.
And right, and then maybe there are four, but I think the Medrash mentions three. But there's
three somewhere recently. There's three.
Okay, right. So there is such a medrash that says three, and then he says that it's dafka these three places. It's such a siman muvak that it's on us. It's on Klal Yisrael to improve our ways, because we get sent certain messages that like these are the places that are supposed to be most understood that they belong to the Jewish people, and they're dafka the three least, not the three least, but three of the least understood places that it's so unclear to the rest of the world that this belongs to us. So it's a siman that it's min hashamayim, that it's really Hashem is telling us we have to do tshuva, that we have to do better if we want the world to recognize what's rightfully ours. So fine, he builds a mizbeach there. And then we have the story of Dina. And then the story of Dina is very strange, because she gets kidnapped, she gets abused, and then what they make this weird deal, right? If you look in Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, so Vayanu b'nei Yaakov es Shechem es Hamor aviv bim mirma. They speak with mirma. Rashi says b'chochma, right? B'chachma, they speak b'chachma. And then what happens? They tell him, right? And then this is Vayidaber, and they spoke Asher Timei Estina Chasam. This whole thing was done only out of revenge for what they did to their sister. Meaning it's saying right off the bat, the Torah is telling you they never planned on keeping this deal. They said this was their plan to avenge their sister's honor. So they tell them everybody has to give a bris milah, and they make the whole town get a bris milah, and then what happens? Pasuk chaf hey now, vayu vayom ashalishi, biyosam koavim, vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, shem v'levi, achei dina, ish charbo v'ebur alir, betach vayargu kol zachar. They killed everyone, and they killed, next pasuk, chamor v'eshchem b'no hargu l'fichara, vayikhu es dina me'beis shchem v'yetzev. And then what happens? They plunder the city, and they take all of their possessions, and they really, you know, the women and the children, they really plundered everything. And then Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Yaakov al Shimon and Levi, Achartemosi. You know what's Achartemosi mean? What's Achur with an ayin? Mechoar. What's Mechoar? Right, same idea, right? Achar temosi, you've muddied me, right? Like Rash says, Mayim achurim, muddy water. You've muddied me. You've made me ugly, right? Lahav isheni bi yosheva aretz baknani baprizi. You've made me disgusting in the eyes of the people who live here. What?
Discomposed.
You've discomposed me, right? That's a strange answer, right?
Just wiped out a city.
Right, it's like, you killed people, you plundered, this is a big, you're making me look bad here. You're making me look bad. So he says, what's going on here? Vani misay misbar, and then furthermore, now I'm going to get killed. So number one, you've made me look ugly in the eyes of the other people living here. And then he says, And we're few in number. They're going to gather against me. They're going to gather against us and kill us. And what's their response? Should we turn our sister into a zona? Meaning, that was their answer. Our sister was being treated as a zona, and this was our response. But again, and Yaakov has nothing to say back. They got the last word. And only at the end, in Parshas Vayechi, does Yaakov speak to them. And what does he speak to them about? Not what he speaks to them about here. He speaks to them, right, just to quickly try to jump there for a second. What does Yaakov Avinu speak to them there? Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Hey. Shimon v'Levi Achim, Klei Chamas Mecheirosehem, V'sodam al Tavon Ashi, B'kolam al Teichad Kvodi, Ki Ba'apom Hargu Ish, U'Virtzonam Ikrushor. This is what he should have yelled at them about back there. You're a bunch of killers. You're a bunch of angry murderers. You killed all these people. Arur Apom, cursed is their anger. Ki Ozvev Rasam, Ki Kashos Achal, Kein B'Yakov Afitzim B'Yisrael. I'm going to divide you up and spread you out because you can't be together. Your anger is too much and you're going to do all these terrible things. So that's what he should have said here. He should have said over here, what are you guys going crazy over here? You're murdering people left and right. You're getting so angry. So A, number one, I just want to know, did they really get the last word in? And B, why didn't he say what he said over there, over here? So meaning, did Yaakov was he just saving it up? He's like, oh, wait till right before I die, then I'm going to give it to you. Right? That's a lot of patience. A lot happens between now and then. So is that it, or is it that no? At this point, he had said everything that needed to be said, and their response was acceptable? So it's very hard to know. All right, so I want to try to answer some of these questions with a mahalach that I think it's not exactly what we've been talking about up until now, but now we're at a different stage in the game, meaning now all the pieces are in place, and Yaakov is trying to realize his destiny as the next one of the others. And what is his destiny? So we know what the Psukim tell us when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, meaning obviously there's a Midah of, you know, Avram Avinu is Chesed, Yitzchak Avinu is Gvura, Yaakov Avinu is known as Teferis, right? Okay, we're not talking about Teferis right now, which is somehow the combination and the perfect balance between Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is outgoing, you know, doing for others. Gvura is holding your ground inwardly, and Yaakov Avinu is supposed to be the best of both worlds. He takes what he learned from Avram and what he learned from Yitzchak, and he's the amalgamation of all the great things that they brought to the table. But nonetheless, what's the midah of Yaakov Avinu that we talk about in the Pesukim? Titein emes li Yaakov. Yaakov is supposed to be the Isha Emes. So let's go back to Yaakov Avinu's adventures for a second. It says what he really starts his adventures with the sale of the Bechora, right? So he sells. So what happens? He says to Esav. Esav comes from the field. He's tired. He's hungry, right? And what does he say to him? He says, "No problem. I'll give you all the food you want to eat. Just sell your firstborn rights to me." Right? So it's a little shady, saying that you can have whatever you want of this delicious lentils. All you have to do is sell your firstborn rights to me. So what does Esav says back? Again, without getting involved in the midrashim, but he's saying, "Hinani olech lomus. I'm going to die." Meaning Esav was hungry to the point of where he felt he was going to die, and Yaakov kind of took advantage of him, right? Now, not really, but in other words, he made a sale, you know, at a very opportune time. So he says, fine. And Yaakov, in his defense, Yaakov delivered. He says, Yaakov Nasan, he didn't just give him the lentils. Lechem, unizid adashim, vayocha, vayesh, vayakam, vayelach, vayivez Esav as habachor. Esav didn't want it anyway. Torah's made on Esav that he did not feel like he got a bad deal. Esav thought he got a good deal. He says, "Vayivez, look, I got a great meal instead of the Bechorah. The Bechorah was doing me no good. Meal was doing me a lot of good." So Esav didn't feel like he got a bad deal. But nonetheless, it was the beginning of Yaakov's seeming difficult misadventures. And then we have the obvious incident with where he takes the brachos from Esav, and he has to dress up, and he has to lie. And we say, you know, Rashi, the way he explains it, every lie that he tells, it has a kernel of truth in it, in the sense that you could parse the sentences differently, and they would be true, because Yaakov Avinu, he didn't want to lie. You know, it's like Hutra versus Dechuya. You know, in Hilchos Shabbos, we talk about if you have to be Mechalal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, better to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan than to violate an Issa D'Oraisa, and better to do it Kilachar Yad if you can, like... Because the Isser of Shabbos is not completely hutra, it's not completely mutter for a person to do it. It's dechuya. You do what you have to do to survive. You do what you do for pikuach nefesh, but you don't want to violate Shabbos outright. So Yaakov Avinu was like lying b'toras dechuya. He was saying, "Anochi, I am who I am, Esav b'chorecha." Right? He says, "Are you really Esav?" He says, "Ani." Yeah. He says, "Yes, I am who I am." Whatever. Again, it was not clear cut that these were all outright lies. But in the end of the day, this was not the character of that we want for the Isha Emes. This was certainly an act where he was tricking him. And then what do we have next? He comes to Lavan, and then Rashi actually picks up on this. Rashi says in Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi says, "Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu." Right? He says he told Rachel that he was her father's brother. He wasn't her father's brother, because then he says, "V'chi ben Rivkahu." He wasn't her father's brother. He was her father's nephew. Right, he was the son of Rivka. So Rashi says, no, it doesn't mean, it means relative, and we find that by Avram and Lot, he calls him Achinu, right, he says, "We're brothers." It doesn't mean brothers, it means relatives. But then he says, also, Umidrasho, im l'ramos hu ba, gam ani achiv b'ramos. If he's going to come to try to trick me, I will be his brother in trickery. Meaning, however he's misnayig with me, I'll be misnayig with him. I'm not going to be a pushover. And Kachava, what do we have? We don't even know about it until the end, that Yaakov really lets Lavan have it. But Yaakov, what is he? He has this, I don't claim to have any understanding of what this incident means, that he says he makes the deal for the Akudim, the Nukudim, the Chomim, the Brudim, whatever they are. And he said the speckled and the spotted and the striped animals. And what does he do? He has this thing that he does where he cuts up the sticks into pieces and he puts them in the water, and somehow that helps. And how it helps, I don't know. You could read all the Mefarshim. What?
That's what art school says.
It is what it is. I don't know. You could see Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has a cute word about that he understood genetics, that the animals would want to mate with animals that looked like them. So when they would go to drink from the trough, they would see all the little wood chips in the trough, and they would think that those were speckles on their faces and on their body, so they would be naturally more inclined to mate with animals that had similar features. So, okay, listen, that's as good an explanation as any. I don't know what it means that somehow caused them to give birth to similar animals. But Lamaisa, that's what he did. But again, it was a shtick. Did he do anything wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. But again, there was this shtick that he pulled to make things, and he clearly had a plan from day one, because he said he's the one who originated the deal. So he's like, oh, I have this great plan that when I chop up the chips into the water, it's going to work. And like he tells Lavan, you take all the normal ones, I'll take the spotted and the speckled and the striped, and you know, I'll work my flock from there. And he somehow gets very rich over this, and the sons of Lavan, you know, begrudge him for it. And then he has to go on his way. And then later, at the end of the parsha, when Lavan chases him down, then Yaakov just annihilates him. He says, like, look what you've been doing to me this entire time. You know, I didn't steal even one second of work from you, and you've been stealing from me constantly. Right? What's the lashon? Gunuvasi yom, gunuvasi laila. You stole my days, you stole my nights. He says, you switched our deal 100 times. Right? He says, and Lavan doesn't even deny it at that point. You know, So we see that Yaakov was being mistreated by Lavan all along, but Yaakov also got in a few good punches and he won the day, in the sense that he succeeded in getting rich off of Lavan. And again, not saying that he did every single thing that Yaakov did was absolutely necessary and absolutely warranted, but it was not like, if you needed to categorize Yaakov at this point, would the term Titin Emes Yaakov be what you would say? I don't know that that's what I would say at this point. And Lefi Anias Daiti, this is what is scaring Yaakov. And this is what is scaring Yaakov. And this is why he's so afraid of Esav. Why? Because like you said originally, we'll read the Torah to me, we'll quote the Gemara here, but I'll read it to you. It says, Vayiro Yaakov, Reb Yaakov Bar Idi Rami. Says, wait a second. What? He asked the Kasha. V'hine Anochi Imach Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Seilech. Hashem already promised him, I'm going to guard you no matter what. Uchsiv vayira Yaakov. And it says that Yaakov was afraid. Vayomer shema yigro machet. Excuse me. Maybe the chet would cause him to no longer be worthy of Hashem's promise. But that's very strange because Yaakov was still walking with the Ribbono Shel Olam at this time. And he's talking to Hashem. He's saying, Hashem, I know you're taking such good care of me. He's sending Malachim to talk to Esav. He's clearly Hashem's guy. So it can't be that it's just Stam, any old sin. Oh, Yaakov is now, God forbid, a sinner. He's not a sinner, so what's he afraid of? So Shema Yigru Machait, that he's such a sinner that Hashem won't take care of him. Hashem is currently taking very good care of him. So why is it that he's all of a sudden so afraid? Shema Yigru Machait, what would be the chait? But I think you could explain it based on the next thing where he says, what does he say? That katonti mikol achasodim umikol haemes. He says, I've been made smaller. How have I been made smaller? For all the chesed you did to me and all the truth. Right? So he says, what does that mean? Mele, you could be katonti mikol achasodim. So he says, you've done all these chesed, this chesed for me, that makes me feel small. But the emes, why should the emes make me feel small? So you could argue that that's actually making Yaakov feel worse. Because when he sees the emes, that's who he is, that's who he always wants to be. And he hasn't been able to be that person. He hasn't been able to be true to his own essence. He hasn't been able to be true to who he wants to be. He wants to be the Isha Emes all the time. And all he's dealing with an Esav constantly, he's dealing with a Lavan constantly, and he's I don't want to say, God forbid, stooping to their level, but he's had to deal with them, like he said, like Rashi said, Achiv b'Ramos, I'm going to be his brother in Ramos. Meaning, if he's coming to trick me, I'm going to play the way he plays. And I'm going to give him a taste of his own medicine. And that's not who Yaakov wants to be. And when he sees the emes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Katonti mikol achasodim, he doubts himself. And he says, Shema yigro machet. Maybe I didn't turn out exactly the way I was supposed to be. And he's afraid of Esav. Because why? So, Lemaisa, Sof kol Sof, he's better than Esav. Why is he afraid of Esav? So I think that goes back also to the brachos. What was the bracha that Esav received? Right? What was the bracha that Esav received from Yaakov? He says that, because Esav cries to his father, and he says, do you have even one bracha for me? So he says, Hine mishmanea aretz ye moshavecha, umitala shamaya me'ol. Right? You're going to have a lot of gashmias also. You're going to be very rich. And then it's va'al charbecha tichye. You're going to live by the sword. Ve'esachicha tavo. You're going to serve your brother. V'ha'ya ka'asher tarid ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. But when he goes down, you're going to be able to throw the yoke off of him. Yaakov is afraid that by not being the Yaakov that he could be, now not being the Isha Emes, Esav is now worthy of his bracha. Esav is now worthy to throw off the yoke of Yaakov, and it's al charbacha tichya. You're going to live by your sword. You're going to be a great killer. You're going to be a great person who's going to be able to destroy others. And that was Esav's bracha. He's the foil. I don't know if that's the right term. But he's the foil of Yaakov. What? Now he's the mirror image of Yaakov. That when Yaakov goes down, Esav goes up. And therefore, Yaakov feels Shema Yigro Machet, that maybe because I haven't been this Isha Emes that I want to be, the Mela Esav is going to have power over me. And then what happens? Then what happens is he meets the Sarashal Esav. He meets the Malach, and he wrestles with him. And the Malach can't overcome him, but he is able to injure him. And to Yaakov, that could send a message that, no, you're still Yaakov, but you're not. You know, you're not infallible. You're not someone who I can't hurt in some way. And then Yaakov is very upset by this. And what does he say to him? He says, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me." Well, what blessing? So what does he need a blessing from him for? And then he says to him, "What's the blessing that I'm going to give you?" He says, "The blessing that you want, right? Lo, what's your name, Yaakov?" He says, "No, your name is not Yaakov. Your name is Yisrael." What's Yaakov? Vayakveni ze pamayim. He's constantly tricking me. He's the guy who's always grabbing onto me. He's the guy who's always chasing me down from behind. He says, yeah, that's not who you are. You are the Ishamas. You are Yisrael. He says, you are the one who kisarisa im Elokim v'im anashim v'atuchol. Because you were able to rule over the Rabbanu Shalom. Meaning you were able to do what Hashem expected of you, and you were able to rule over human beings who tried to bring you down. You ruled over them as well. And you succeeded. And then he says to him, Hagida na shemecha. He says, no, I need to know where this is coming from. He says, is this just something you're saying to me because, you know, I did pretty well against you? Is this me? And he says back to him, Lama zet tishal shmi. He says, you don't need to know my name. He says, I'm a malach. Right, Rashi says over there, Ein lanu shem kavua. Mishtanin shmoseinu lefi hakol. Mitzvah savodas hashlichu shanu mishtalchim. It says, when our shlichus changes, our name changes. I'm just a malach. I'm a messenger of the Rabbanu Shalom. This bracha is coming from Hashem. It says, this bracha is coming from Hashem. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that you are, in fact, the real deal. And when Yaakov hears this, he still is machnia himself in front of Esav when he meets him. But then what happens? He says, I want you to take my gifts. Because I want to sort of undo some of the things that I did. I want to be that Isha Emes. I don't want anyone to feel like I took from them. I don't want anybody to feel like I need for you to take the Gashmias that I was blessed with, that you were, quote-unquote, supposed to be blessed with, and I want to give it to you and show you that I didn't take this away from you. I want to sort of undo a little of that. And he's telling him, take my gifts, and he really tries to get him to give in, and he gives in, and Esav sort of accepts it, and he says to him, Achi Yeshli Rav, says, my brother, I have a lot. And Yaakov Ravina says back, Yeshli Kol, I have everything. Everything doesn't mean I have everything, like, more than you. Everything means, like, Lemais, in the end of the day, right, I have everything I need, right? I always like to link that to the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. Right? We say, why does the tochacha come? Taka sashalo avarata sashem lo kecha besimcha v'tuv levav me rov kol. Right? Rov kol. What's rov kol? So I think Rashi says over there, when you have a lot, that should be enough. It should be in your eyes like you have everything. So what did Esav say to him? Yeshli rov. And we say, no, we don't say yeshli rov. We say yeshli kol. I have everything. Meaning, if I have what Hashem has given me and I don't need to look out and take from anybody else, I have everything. It says, if I, Ezu Asher Asamech Bechelko, doesn't just mean you're rich because you're happy with what you have. It means Hashem is giving you what you really need, and therefore, by definition, you have everything. You shouldn't look around to see what else you're missing. So he's telling Esav, I want to give this to you because I want everything that I have to come from the Rabbanu Shalom. I want to always have the outlook that I have what I need. I don't need more. It says, you have the outlook, Yeshli Rav, and you even might have more than me. But that's not the way I want to behave. That's not the way I want to be. I want to be the person who's constantly satisfied with what he has. I want to give away the stuff that maybe, you know, I quote-unquote, you can claim I didn't deserve it, I didn't have it coming. You know, so he Dafka is trying very hard to get Esav to accept his gifts because he doesn't want any of that sticking with him. He wants to get rid of that. Whatever he had to do to get to this point, he wants to sort of send it back to where it came from. And then what happens? He says to, and by the way, I think that explains that really weird pasuk that he says to Esav, Ki al kein ra'isi panecha kiros p'nei Elokim v'atirtzeini. He says, by doing this, I'm gonna like see the face of Hashem and he'll be appeased by me, he'll be happy with me. Meaning I want to get back into that good, you know, level that Hashem is pleased with the way I'm acting by giving back everything that I feel that you could argue that I took. And therefore he's trying very hard to get Esav to right, so but he feels the need to sort of, he's saying that I need to undo what I did. He feels the need to say that if Hashem is pleased with, well, Hashem didn't name him Yisrael just yet. Saying the Malach was telling him, you know, and Rashi actually points that out. When the Malach says to him, he says, if you're worried, if you're still a Yaakov, you should know your name is going to become Yisrael. He was giving him like a preview, but Hashem didn't say it yet. And then Hashem comes to him after this and he renames him Yisrael. But I think that could also explain Yaakov's reaction when he gets angry at Shimon and Levi. I mean, what's he so angry at Shimon and Levi for? Because it says over there, where is it over here? Sorry. The Lashon of the Pasuk is very interesting. But Vayanu b'nei Yaakov es Shechem v'es Chamor aviv b'mirma. Right? And Rashi says again, b'chochma. Right? They answered him b'mirma. But what does the word b'mirma mean? It doesn't always mean chochma. It means trickery. They answered him in a chicanerous fashion. Right? And what's the lashon that Yitzchak used when Esav shows up? Right? What does he say? Vayomer, this is in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayomer, bo achicha b'mirma vayikach birchasecha. And Rashi says over there again, b'mirma, right, b'mirma, your brother came, b'chachma, right? But it's not the kind of chachma that Yaakov necessarily wants. Yaakov wants an emesdika chachma. He wants to be straightforward. He says, Yaakov, you came b'mirma. And now Yaakov sees it rubbing off on the kids. And he says, that's by the way, I can tell you. If you want to know why your parents get frustrated with you sometimes, it's because they see all of their own qualities in you, and it drives them crazy. I can say this as a parent. When my kids do something that I know that I do, it drives me crazy. And Yaakov is seeing this, that lush, and he says, what did you say to the Anshei Shechem? You're saying b'mirma, you're tricking them, you're trying to tell them, you know, oh, just have a bris milah and then we'll all be one big happy family. He says, you never meant that. And then Shimon and Levi go out there and they wipe out the city. And what does he say to them? He says to them, where do you think our security comes from up until this point? He says, because we're respected, because we're emistika people. We're respected by the Rabbonu Shalom, we're respected by the people around us. And now you're ruining that. Achartem osi l'avishen. You're making us, you're filthying us. Again, I just worked so hard to shed this entire yoke that I had on my back of trickery, of mirma, of double talk. And here you guys go ahead and do the same thing and then you wipe out the whole city. Meaning he says, about the anger and the killing, that's not his problem right this minute. Because again, it's all about what we were going back to before. The focus of Yaakov Avinu is building for the generations, is trying to establish himself as that third pillar, that pillar of Emes. And he's saying, it's not working. I'm not succeeding at doing this. And then what did they say back to him? They said, "Hachzono yaseh sachosein." Says, so what? You're just going to let them turn our sister into a prostitute? You're going to turn her into zona? So what was their response? He's saying, I'm adding a lot, but they're saying that you did what you needed to do because you needed to do it. So he says, we're doing this for our sister. We're doing this for her. We're not doing something to advance our own goals. We're not doing something to make ourselves happy. So he says, we did this strictly and only for our sister. And therefore, you can't fault us for using this method. And Yaakov doesn't say anything after that. He says, it's true. It's what upsets him. And it's true that he doesn't want any more of this going on. And that's what angers him at this time. But nevertheless, they say, just like you always had a reason for it, we have a reason for it now. And we didn't do it out of our own, out of our desire for our own advancement. Later on, when they need to be told what they actually did wrong on a personal level, because it's time for them to build for the next generation, then he lets them have it in Parshas Vayechi about their midos and about what they did, about their anger. And then fine, that's the time for that. But right now, he's still worried about his legacy. He's still worried about building that pillar of Emes that happens, that happens over here. And then finally, what happens? Hashem says to him, enough is enough with this. It's time for you to come back. Kum alei beis el v'shev sham v'asei sham mizbeach l'kel hanirai lecha b'varachacha v'pnei esoch. It's time to go back to where you came from. It's time to go back to your roots. And finally, it says that, and then it's hasira. All right, there's a lot more to say over this, but I think we'll stop for now. But the idea, I think, of one of the main themes that's going on in terms of Yaakov in this parsha is that he wanted to reestablish himself as the Isha Emes that he was unable to achieve throughout the last two parshios because he had to deal with all these situations, and it was haunting him, and he felt that it wasn't who he wanted to be, and it wasn't who the Klal Yisrael needed him to be, and therefore he took a lot of measures to try to achieve that. And when he saw that going wrong in his children, that really bothered him tremendously. And he did accept the answer of Shimon and Levi when Benogea to this particular aspect of nation building. He didn't accept it Benogea to their own personal attributes and their own midos, but he did accept it when it came to what they did for the reasons that they did it. Anyway.